Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Ed Chu and Francine Foss. I'm Bruce Barber. Dr. Chu is Deputy Director and Chief of Medical Oncology at Yale Cancer Center, and he's an internationally recognized expert on colorectal cancer. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology, and she's an expert in the treatment of lymphomas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This evening, Ed welcomes Nancy Beaulieu and Wendelin Nelson. Nancy and Wendelin are board-certified oncology pharmacists at Yale Cancer Center.
Nancy, I suspect many of our listeners don't realize that they're specialized training in order to become an oncology pharmacist. And maybe you can kind of tell us a little bit about what that training process involves.
In order to be an oncology pharmacist, first and foremost, you have to be a licensed pharmacist, which in the state of Connecticut requires 6 years of schooling. And then from that point, many of the pharmacy graduates go on to be oncology residents. And that is an additional year of training that occurs postgraduate, which focuses primarily on the entire oncology practice. From that, they can then go on to be board certified. In order to be a board certified oncology pharmacist, they have to meet certain criteria within their practice. Outside of being a licensed pharmacist, they have to spend more than 50% of their time in an oncology practice setting for at least 4 years before they can even sit for this exam. Or they can actually complete this oncology practice residency, and in addition to a year of practice in the field, then they can take the exam. All board-certified oncology pharmacists have to pass an initial comprehensive exam, and then they have to maintain their certification through either continuing education or additional exams on a every 7 year basis.
Where can one get such kind of specialized training?
Well, here at Yale, we offer an oncology residency program. And our program is a year-long intensive training program where a pharmacist who wants to become an oncology specialist spends that time focusing specifically in cancer care. For example, a great deal of time is spent on various cancer types and learning about specific therapies for those diseases. And additional training is also covered to cover related issues such as infectious disease and investigational clinical trials. Once an oncology pharmacy resident has successfully completed this training, then they've gained sufficient experience and knowledge to practice independently as an oncology pharmacist.
So obviously we have a program here at Yale. Where else in the state of Connecticut? So if anyone's interested, say for instance, in becoming an oncology pharmacist, are there other sites around the state? Like I know, for instance, when I've attended on our inpatient service, we've had pharmacy students from the University of Connecticut. Do they have a pharmacy program in oncology, per se, or?
The school itself has many pharmacy students. They do not specifically focus them on oncology. The students that you have seen on rounds are primarily students who have chosen oncology as a rotation. It's a short amount of time where they get exposed to the disease, and then they may move on to cardiology next or intensive care. As far as oncology residencies in the state of Connecticut,
that would be after the PharmD is completed. And I believe we're the only oncology specialty program within the state of Connecticut. There are other programs throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so it sounds like, just like in my own field, medical oncology, where you kind of go through the generalized training of general medicine, in order to then become a specialist, you have to do specialized cancer training and then be certified. And so again, it sounds like to become an oncology pharmacist, one needs specialized certification and accreditation.
That is correct. However, there are some of us who did not actually do an oncology residency because they weren't offered back mm-hmm. when we went to school. So many of us have done it through time and experience more so than the residency option. Myself, for example, had spent about 15 years primarily in just oncology outpatient practice. And from there, I decided that I would put the time into attempting to take the oncology board certification. exam and pass that, and so that allows me to use the terminology of a board-certified oncology pharmacist without having a residency, and there are a number of us on staff who have gone that route.
You know, one question that we like to ask our guest experts, and I think I'm going to throw this out to both of you, is what made you decide to actually go into oncology pharmacy, say, as opposed to, you know, I guess our traditional way of thinking about pharmacists is, well, like the pharmacist that I see quite frequently at the CVS pharmacy on the Boston Post Road in Orange. But what made you decide to kind of, you know, take a different route and really get involved in taking care of cancer patients and being an oncology pharmacist? Maybe, Wendell, we can start with you.
My path to get to oncology was a fairly circuitous one. After college, I actually worked in a basic science research laboratory at Stanford University for a couple of years, and then decided that I really wanted a clinical career. So then I went back to school at the University of California, San Francisco, and got my Doctor of Pharmacy degree. Initially, I worked in critical care, which I really enjoyed, and actually pursued board certification in nutrition support. And to this day, I maintain a very keen interest in the impact of nutritional status on body composition and overall health. Certainly, that affects cancer patients. Finally, however, I have come to my calling, which is oncology, and for the last 15 years, I've worked with both adult and pediatric oncology and bone marrow transplant patients. So it's been a long path, but this is where I belong.
Great. And Nancy?
I have been a longtime employee of Yale New Haven Hospital for almost 25 years now. I started actually as a UConn pharmacy student. And then after I graduated, I stayed on in multiple practice settings that included HIV, general medicine, surgery, and oncology was one of them. At that point in time, it was pretty clear there was a need for pharmacists to be devoted to oncology. And I was young and decided, okay, I can take this on, and started to focus right there. I became one of two primary pharmacists who actually covered oncology, and within a few years of being here, we actually opened the bone marrow transplant unit inpatient, and that became my primary area. It was incredibly exciting to be young at that time and to be part of such a new developing program that really was one of the few in our part of the country. Having worked on the inpatient unit for several years, a position then became open in the outpatient setting, which I decided to go for. This allowed me to sort of see the other side of cancer care, not just the hospitalized patients, but those patients who came in, got treated, went home, and back to their daily routine. And I think that's where I really realized that this is where my satisfaction lies, that these are the people that I'm here to serve, and this is my love of this practice and this profession. I decided, like I said, to then pursue my certification, and I find that, you know, with the clinical trials, and one of the things that myself as well as the rest of us talk about quite frequently is one of our big reasons for staying focused here is because of the clinical trial mm-hmm. programs and all the things that we get to learn on a daily basis. As you had mentioned, you know, we chose not to go the route of being the CVS pharmacist. And part of that is because I think we all have this incredible desire for more knowledge on a daily basis, and that's what we get out of being here at Yale, is we get to learn every single day. We're like perpetual students.
And I think also, and I know this is true when we speak to other healthcare professionals involved in taking care of cancer patients, that for whatever reason, taking care of cancer patients and their family members and loved ones really is a very special experience. That's extremely, at least I know I can speak for myself, is extremely rewarding. And I suspect you, both of you probably feel the same way as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think that you really feel like you're meeting a need, and you're coming to help people at a time of true crisis in their lives, not only patients, but their families as well. And being able to provide them with the best possible pharmaceutical care and drug education is extremely rewarding in this environment.
You know, it's interesting. We kind of take things for granted, but I guess one thing it's important to emphasize to our listeners out there is that the whole field of medical oncology, cancer therapy, really is actually still pretty young. In fact, medical oncology really just kind of got officially started somewhere in the mid to late 1980s. So as you were saying, Nancy, I mean, you really kind of came at a time when oncology was just beginning. So I imagine just in the 15, 20 years that you've been here at Yale, you've seen pretty significant changes and advances in cancer therapy and cancer, and in your own particular area of cancer pharmacy.
Absolutely. Since I've been here, well, I laugh because when I got into the outpatient setting, I believe we had 3 clinical trials open, and now we have probably well over 70, 80 clinical trials easily, at least treatment trials. Some of the additional advancements include patients getting treated more frequently. We see a lot of patients on a much more frequent time block, and part of that has been the whole supportive care piece. And those are medications that help patients get treated more frequently because they address the side effects associated with it. We have patients who take many oral medications for oncology right now. And one of the things that I teach many students, and one of the things I always tell them is, probably one of the most satisfying things is to see a drug go from a clinical trial study where you perhaps made the first dose in a human to then being marketed and treating many, many patients with that, because you feel like you've had such an integral part in getting that drug from trial phase to actually being a treatment drug for cancer patients.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I'm sure many people have heard of this antibody called Erbitux, also known as the Martha Stewart antibody, initially approved to treat colorectal cancer, now used to treat head and neck cancer. But I think many people may not realize that, in fact, probably one of the very first patients to have been tested with Erbitux was actually here at the Yale Cancer Center.
Yes, I believe myself and my technician made that dose for that patient who was treated here many years ago. And now it's such a common drug used in the colorectal population on a daily basis.
Right. So it's interesting. So Erbitux started in what's called phase one clinical studies. And while when we do these phase one studies and we don't have any idea what's going to happen, and so a lot of patients think, well, you know, I'm a guinea pig on something really experimental, you know, Erbitux, I think, highlights that you start from a phase one testing, and then all of a sudden, you know, years later, it becomes part of everyday standard care.
That's right, and it's extremely rewarding to see drugs go to the point of being granted either FDA approval or else granted expanded indications, and also to see the evolutionary process where new combinations are tried within the context of a phase two or a phase three trial, many of which occur at Yale, and then we see the overall results of improved survival and improved patient outcomes, and that's another aspect of this job that is extraordinarily rewarding.
And Wendelin, from your perspective, you know, what have been the greatest, most significant changes, advances in oncology pharmacy, you know, since you've been here at Yale?
I would agree with Nancy. Over the last decade, we've been using new supportive care drugs, and I believe that maintaining the quality of life for patients and supporting them in terms of side effects, whether they are disease-related side effects or treatment-related side effects, has made a huge impact on people's lives. I walk through the clinic, and I don't see people who are in distress. I see people who are relaxed, reading a book, sometimes dozing, and I see people coming to the clinic and receiving state-of-the-art treatment, and yet they're very comfortable. And a lot of this has to do with recent advances in supportive care.
So a common misperception out there is that when someone is to get chemotherapy, that they're going to get sick, lose their hair, really feel lousy, and that really is not really true.
For the most part, when people relate chemotherapy to what they know of the old movies, where people have significant nausea, vomiting for days, where they stay in bed, our patients are not like that at all. However, Wendelin and I, as well as my other pharmacists, work with these drugs every single day, and we sometimes forget how frightening chemotherapy is to the average person and the average patient. So part of our role is to remove that fear. I know that I sat last Friday with a woman while she was getting her chemo. She was fine with everything that had happened up until the point of the where she was actually going to get her chemotherapy. So I sat with her. We talked about the chemo. I stayed the entire time. She got her chemo. It was essentially uneventful. Didn't really realize, you know, that it was over by the time it was over. And she wasn't afraid anymore. And I think that right there, that's huge satisfaction for me. But I think that's what we need to bring to our patients is the fact that we know you're afraid, but we can lessen that fear through education and through the knowledge that we have of the drugs that we have to support you through this time.
I think another thing that patients then bring back to us is communication. If things aren't going well, you need to communicate with the physician, the nurse, the pharmacist, because there are other options in terms of ensuring a patient's comfort.
Great. Well, at the other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more about how the oncology pharmacist really is an integral part of the multidisciplinary team approach for taking care of cancer patients. You're listening to Yale Cancer Center Answers. I'm here discussing the important role of the oncology pharmacist and oncology pharmacy support with Nancy Beaulieu and Gwendolyn Nelson from the Yale Cancer Center.
It's estimated that over 2 million men in the U.S. are currently living with prostate cancer. 1 in 6 American men will develop prostate cancer in the course of his lifetime. Major advances in the detection and treatment of prostate cancer have dramatically decreased the number of men who die from this disease. Screening for prostate cancer can be performed quickly and easily in a physician's office using 2 simple tests, a physical exam and a blood test. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, like the one at Yale, to test innovative new treatments for prostate cancer. Patients enrolled in these trials are given access to experimental medicines not yet approved by the Food and Drug Administration. This has been a Medical Minute, and you'll find more information at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum from Connecticut Public Radio.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. I'm here in the studio this evening with Nancy Beaulieu and Gwendolyn Nelson, both board-certified oncology pharmacists at the Yale Cancer Center. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about how the cancer pharmacists really play a very important role as part of this multidisciplinary team care approach.
Well, an oncology pharmacist will review every chemotherapy order, and this is really a multiple step and involved process. Every drug regimen is verified back to the primary literature or to the appropriate research protocol. In addition, at this time, supportive care medications, drugs used to control symptoms and keep a patient comfortable are also reviewed for appropriateness. In addition, at this point, we look over the most current patient laboratory data, and we pay particular attention to issues relating to drug safety in terms of something called pharmacokinetics. And pharmacokinetics is basically how the human body handles a drug which has been administered. For example, metabolism or the chemical changing of a drug by the liver or the elimination of a drug from the body by the kidney. So specifically, we're paying attention to the functioning of the liver and the kidney, and we compare that to what is known about the pharmacokinetic characteristics of each drug which is going to be administered. In addition, we review laboratory data for any signs of drug toxicity. If we have any concerns or questions about any of these issues or how it may affect a patient, then we will discuss these directly with a patient's physician or with their nurse practitioner. And certainly assuring that the drugs and the doses ordered by the physician are correct and complete and safe for each cancer patient is one of our primary responsibilities.
I know one question that always does come up is, you know, how does one ensure that the doses of chemotherapy that a patient getting is appropriate and correct? Because obviously there have been, you know, in the past, all these horror stories. I think the one that comes to mind most vividly is a Boston Globe reporter, in fact, got a massive overdose and unfortunately died. So what are the safety measures that we have in place to hopefully avoid any of those potential complications?
Well, outside of the verification process that Wendelin just spoke about, we know that we work with high-risk drugs every day. We never forget that. So that's the initial mindset that we go into our job with on a daily basis. That being said, we have multiple double-check systems that are in place to assure that through the manufacturing process, the correct patient receives the correct drug in the correct dose at the correct time. We, as pharmacists, double-check every single physician order that comes into us, assuring that what they have calculated is correctly, assuring that the patient's not getting treated too soon, assuring that the dose is right for that particular patient, and as Wendelin mentioned, their lab function. Each drug dose is customized based on the regimen, the body size of the patient, and the parameters. This requires many, quite often, mathematical calculations on our part. Those calculations are double-checked by our technical staff who do the majority of the mixing, as well as double-checked by a second pharmacist. So by the time the drug reaches the patient, at least four people have double-checked the amount that has been mixed in that drug against the order, and that includes the oncology nursing staff as well. They also make sure that what we have given them is correct for that patient. Sometimes questions come about regarding the safety of drug combinations or even the use of herbal products. We add to the safety by knowing that we can speak to these issues with the patients to avoid potential drug interactions that may come up. Wendelin has done quite a bit of teaching with the GYN population in regards to herbal meds and what they can and cannot take safely while they are getting their chemotherapy and to avoid potentially harmful interactions. And every single day, safety is our primary focus. And that being said, we are moving to new technologies that will even improve our safety. In general, pharmacy always thinks in terms of doses. We mix approximately 3,000 doses of chemotherapy per month in the outpatient settings. That ranges upwards about 100 plus doses per day per site of treatment. That averages into about 36,000 doses of chemotherapy per year outpatient, an additional 15,000 doses of chemotherapy per year inpatient. And every single year we see that number increase. Currently we have 12 clinical pharmacists that practice in the oncology setting. Five are currently board certified, and three of our younger staff members are actually going to sit for the exam come this October. One of the 12 is actually a clinical professor from UConn who works on the inpatient side, and one of them is our investigational pharmacist who is in charge of all the investigational studies within the hospital, but he is a board-certified oncology pharmacist as well. And then we move to get our younger staff members. We have three going this year, and hopefully there'll be more going next year as they spend more and more time. It takes a lot of preparation to sit for that exam, and most people are not ready for that as soon as they have a year of practice.
And I'm just curious, as we begin to think about moving into the new Smilo Cancer Hospital, which will open the end of October, is there any anticipation that we'll need additional oncology pharmacists to kind of help to support the hopefully increased patient volumes?
As of right now, actually starting today, I have a new pharmacist starting today. I have two additional positions that are being posted. So we are ramping up for our move, which is going to occur within the next 6 months. At that point, we hope to gain some efficiencies as well. We will have three sites of service essentially moving into one primary location. So we may gain efficiencies, which will allow time for our pharmacists to go spend more time with the patients and do more education and more one-on-one focused teaching.
And again, maybe just to kind of reemphasize the point, as you were saying, Nancy, that the oncology pharmacist not only plays such an important part in preparing the chemotherapy, but also plays a very important role in helping to educate patients and their family members about kind of the do's and don'ts and what patients need to look out for. I don't know, Wendelin, do you want to say something or Nancy?
Sure. Also, we're involved in, and right now we're actively involved in the process of revising a lot of our written materials that we provide to patients in terms of providing information about each specific agent, whether it is a cytotoxic chemotherapy agent or a supportive care medication. In addition, we are available to speak to family members and patients whenever they have specific questions. Also, a number of us periodically go to support groups and field questions in that environment also.
Mm-hmm. Great. And then, Wendell, I know you've also had a particular interest in clinical trials, and maybe you can tell our listeners out there how the oncology pharmacist is involved in the clinical trials process.
We're definitely an integral part of clinical trials. There's a great deal of regulatory paperwork that we have to maintain. We also attend initial initiation meetings to find out about the studies, and we are responsible for reviewing each order as patients come in terms of making sure that patients are qualified and that they meet specific criteria in terms of dosage modifications as patients move through the clinical trial process.
The clinical trial process is a good example of the team approach for oncology. We work with the investigator, the sponsor, the clinical nurse, the treatment nurse, everyone who's involved very, very closely to assure that that patient who gets enrolled in that study has the best possible care and is fully informed from day one as to what the trial is about and assure that they take their medication correctly. We do a lot of counting of medication that comes back to make sure the patient is taking it the way they're supposed to. So that's a good example of a multidisciplinary function of the oncology pharmacist in that role.
And do the investigational new drugs that are being studied, are they kind of separate and apart from the kind of standard drugs that you
they are housed in the same room, but they are segregated. There are regulatory measures that force us to separate them in regards to being in double locked cabinets, completely away from the regular commercial products that are out on the market, even if it's the same drug, but if it's being used for a study, they are definitely housed separately, but within a pharmacy.
Great. Now, in the minute and a half that we have left in the show, maybe you can give some thoughts as to where you see oncology pharmacy moving forward.
As I said, our most obvious one is merging three areas into one. So location-wise, we will all be in one place, which will be very positive for us. We're all very excited about moving into this new building. I think it offers us numerous opportunities to change our practice to make it better for the patients and better for our staff. We will gain significant efficiencies. There is new technology out there, as I had mentioned, that incorporates barcoding of medications to ensure that the right drug goes in the right bag. We do that now on a manual basis, but this adds a technologic piece that will assure improved safety. We will be utilizing a new computer system, and we hope that with some of these efficiencies that we gain, the actual pharmacists can have increased patient contact, increased educational sessions, and essentially improve pharmaceutical support for all of our patients.
Great. It's amazing how really quickly time has gone. It was wonderful having both of you with me on the show this evening, and we really look forward to having you come back once you've moved into the Smilo Cancer Hospital to hear more about what's going on in the world of oncology pharmacy.
It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to Yale Cancer Center Answers, and I'd like to thank my guest experts this evening, Nancy Beaulieu and Wendellin Nelson, for joining me. Until next time, I'm Ed Chu from the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
If you have questions or would like to share your comments, go to yalecancercenter.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. I'm Bruce Barber, and you're listening to the WNPR Health Forum from Connecticut Public Radio.